Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said current events are so grim that we can't decide whether to watch the 6 o'clock news and not be able to eat, or the 11 o'clock news and not be able to sleep. Let's return now to our study in Mark 10. We were talking about stopping short of salvation. And what a dreadful thing that would be for a person to begin obtaining salvation, to head in the direction of salvation, but to stop short of obtaining it. Well, that's the kind of situation we have in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. A young man came to the master, and he came running, indicating his anxious attitude toward learning about the will of God. He worshiped, he kneeled to the Lord, and he said, "Good Master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" We've talked some at length during this series of lessons in regard to the idea of doing something to have eternal life. Nobody, so far as I know, teaches that our doing will cause God to have to give to us redemption. But I want also to make it very clear that the fact that we cannot earn our salvation doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do. We still keep the commands of the Lord, and the Lord's works are commanded of us. We looked at the Ephesian letter, chapter 2, 8 through 10, and noted that God has a part, that's the grace of God, and that man has a part, that's faith, and faith includes obedience. Interesting to note that James talked about the obedience of Abraham, and the Hebrew letter talks about the faith of Abraham. Now, they weren't talking about contradictory things, one mentioning one thing and the other mentioning another. No, both of them were talking about the same thing. The kind of faith that caused Abraham to be justified was an obedient faith. The kind of faith that causes any person to stand justified is a faith that works. So, James will tell us, "You see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." It isn't faith alone. It's faith that works or does what God commands. We noted in the passage in Ephesians 2 that the works excluded were works of boasting. What was included was the work of God, doing what God commanded. All right, the man came to the Lord wanting to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." He's simply pointing this young man to the Father in heaven and saying the one who is the Father in heaven is the one you need to look to just now. Verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." Most of us would recognize very quickly Jesus is making reference to the Ten Commandment law. And he says the things that are taught in the commandments are the things you should be doing. Those are the instructions given. Now let me make at this point this observation. This young man is living at a time prior to the death of Jesus. Jesus is answering his question. But the new covenant that you and I live under began with the death of Christ. Now there are a number of passages that bear that out. The Colossian letter chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that on the cross, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, nailing it to his cross. But the Hebrew letter, chapter 9, verse 15 says, He is the mediator of the New Testament. And then he goes ahead to make an argument in regard to when a testament is a force. We understand that in our modern day laws, a person who writes a will, that will can be changed any day and every day, in fact could be changed many times a day, if the writer of the will decides to do so. But with their death, that will goes into force. Now, Paul makes that argument about Jesus, and he says that his covenant went into force with his death on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the death of the testator, his new covenant went into force. So you would not expect this man to be told what to do to be saved the same as somebody living now under the new covenant. Well, we're going to have to close our study, and we're hoping that you'll be with us again next week when we continue our discussion concerning this man who almost obtained salvation. We appreciate being with you today and remind you it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you.